This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah al-Azim al-Wahhab al-Ghafur al-Tawwab al-Ladhi khada'at li'azamatihi al-Riqab وذلت لجبروته السعاب وخشعت لملكوته الرقاب واستجلت بصنعته أولي الألباب ويسبح الرعد بحمده والسحاب والبرق والسراب والشجر والدواب مسبب الأسباب ومنزل الكتاب وخالق خلقه من تراب غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب لا إله إلا الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نلقى الله وبها نوالي وأشهد أن عظيمنا وقدوتنا ومولانا قرة عيني محمد ابن عبد الله عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين اللهم فجزه عنا خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته أما بعد. My beloved brethren, most respected elders, mothers and sisters, we are living in 2012 and in the country of Australia, and in a time and in an age and in an era in which humankind have learned and understood that image is everything. And with this newfound knowledge, they have sought to associate with the sacred, divine, true religion of Allah, a damaging image. As such, the religion which, of its 114 chapters, 113 starts with the words, "In the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful," with this religion they have associated hatred. With the religion who takes its root name from Islam or Salam, as in peace or submission, or peace through submission, they have associated violence and a huge amount of negativity. This in turn has paralyzed the Muslim masses, and especially the young Muslim who finds himself associated with this negativity. And I tell you, and as Allah is my witness, the attempts are designed and purposeful to shut you up, to keep you quiet, to make you have an inferiority complex, so that Allah forbid the mouth of the Muslim not open. But it is important, as I look around this room, and Allah protect you, the bulk and the majority of the attendees are young, alhamdulillah, educated looking Muslims, and Allah protect you. And it is important for us as young Muslims and future Muslims to go and search through the annals of human history and see what was the world like before Allah honored it with Islam. And this, as Sheikh Aslam said at the beginning, part of the design of this convention is to give confidence to the Muslim in his religion and in his way of life, so that he can leave these doors and say, "That is my religion, let's go do something about it." And when Allah Rabbul Izzah honored the world with Islam 14 and a half centuries ago in the dry deserts of Arabia next to the cubic house, at that time, in that age, or at that era, humankind was very different to what they are today. They were very different. They used to bury their own daughters alive. Okay? Umar radiallahu anhu says in the hadith is ma'ruf that, "I can't forget when I got my little daughter and I told my wife, 'Dress her up.' For what? Because I am going to go and bury her alive." So the little girl is dressed in the best that she has. And Umar radiallahu anhu, at that time a non-Muslim, takes her to a makeshift grave, digs the hole, and pushes her into it and pours dust on top of her. He says, I can't ever forget as the little one was grappling onto my sleeves, fighting for dear life as I tried to bury her. That was the status of man before Allah honored it with Islam. And one of the first verses of the Quran revealed, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ O little one, for what sin were you killed? Why did they bury you alive? And one of the first commandments and decrees that Allah Rabbul Izzah sent was to stop the killing of these innocent children just because their gender had to be or happened to be female. And that isn't just in Arabia. Leave Arabia, come with me to the subcontinent of India. In India, they had the different rank systems. So they had divided humankind in different social status or social standings. You had the Brahmins who were the priest sect, and then you had the warrior sect and the business sect, and then the untouchables. And their scriptures state that if an untouchable were to look at the face of a Brahmin, the Brahmin can pull his eyes out or his eyes out. And if a Brahmin were to kill an untouchable who was a human just like the Brahmin, just a different label and a different stamp, then it is okay. And if you happen to be a lady in India and your husband died, and in those days, younger girls used to marry older women, older men, and at that time it was likely that the husband was going to go before you. So if the husband died, they had this practice by the name of Sati. And it was there even when the British went there, and it's documented and recorded in the annals of history. At that time, if you were the wife and your husband had died, it was part of your social obligations to go, and the Hindus burned their dead just as background information, they burned their dead. So what you are required to do is go and jump and sit on top of that fire and be burnt with the burning corpse of your husband. And they used to hold you down with sticks so that you don't run away. And imagine the agony of the lady whose only sin was that her husband died. And God forbid if she chose not to go through the painful ordeal and being burnt alive, then they used to shave her head, and she wasn't allowed to wear sandals, and she was required to stick to a strict code of diet and regime. And this was the status in the subcontinent of India. And go to the educated and advanced and intelligent West, and subhanAllah, they didn't consider womankind human. Read the history of the Catholic Church. They did not consider womankind human. Later on, the church decided, no, she's human, but she has a dog-like, dirty soul. This was the world before Islam came. You leave India and leave Europe, come to the Empire of Persia. It was a system which seemed to suck the blood of society for the welfare of a few. They say the emperor and used to wear a gold crown. You know the weight of the gold crown, 92 kilograms of gold. There isn't a neck made on earth that could bear it. So they used to suspend it from the ceilings, and he used to sit under it. And such a magnificent 92 kilograms of gold, anyone that entered the room and saw him in that glory would bow down and sajda to him. And the evils didn't stop there. He was marrying his own sister so that he could have pure blood children. What were you before Islam came to you? What was the world before Islam came to it? And it is important for the young Muslim and the old Muslim and the male Muslim and the female Muslim to understand over and over again that wa Rabbul Kaaba, if there is a savior of humanity, it is you guys. The famous Sahabi, when Islam reached the doors of Persia, his name is Rabi' ibn Amr. And when he reached the doors of Persia, as in the Muslim army reached the doors of Persia, their famous legendary general by the name of Rustam asked for an envoy to be sent from the Muslim ranks so that he could talk with them. So this Sahabi al-Jaleel, and understand
Sa'd ibn Waqas is the leader of the army, the general. And he has just been told, the general on the other side wants an envoy, wants a representative, wants an ambassador. Send someone. So he, looking through the Muslim ranks, finds this individual. The scholars say he was a small man. Like, size-wise, not magnificent. Like, wow, huge muscle, with, you know, a sword from here to there. Small size-wise. And his mount was a small little thing, and he wasn't well-equipped. So Rustam, in preparation for his coming, had brought all the pomp and ceremony of the Persian emperor there. The royal guards and the carpets. You know, they had a carpet 1 acre made of gold threads. 1 acre. So now he comes into this gathering, and on his mount, on his mule, on his horse, and they expect him to park it outside, you know, and then walk inside. But nah, this Sahabi has no room for this type of stuff. He rides on the carpet all the way to the throne of Rustam. Then ties his mule and one of the posts. So Rustam asks him, says, listen, why are you guys here? Why have you come? And I want to recite and share with you the response of this Sahabi, because if there's a mission statement, it is this. He says, نحن قوما ابتعثنا الله لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. We haven't come of our own accord. Our Lord summoned us. We have been called out. We have been sent by God. For what? So that we take man out of the slavery of man and into the servitude of God. We have come to set your people free from the bondage that you have seemed to yoke them with. We have come to release humankind. لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. And second, ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعة الآخرة. And to free man from the confines and the narrowness of this world and take him to the vastness of the Akhirah. ومن جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. And from the oppression of the other religions. And I just mentioned with you moments ago what religion used to do in Arabia and what it did to the people in India and what it was doing in the mountains of Europe. An oppressive man-made system. من جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. To free man from the oppressions of religion and take them to the justice and adl of Islam. And that is the contribution that Islam made and has made, and inshallah will continue to make till Qiyamah come. And although Muslims, we are going through difficult days and we have lost our once held honor and glory, but I want to mention a hadith with you, and I know time is running fast, so bear with me, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the knowledge which Allah Rabbul Izzah has given, the Prophet says in a hadith, a beautiful hadith outlining the different steps of humankind from his time till Qiyamah comes. So listen to it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تكون النبوة فيكم ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء أن يرفعها. Nubuwat, prophethood, will be with you as long as Allah Rabbul Izzah wills. Then Allah will lift up prophethood and prophethood will end. So Allah lifted the prophet died, prophethood ended. So what will happen after you, Ya Rasulullah? ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً رَاشِدًا. Then after me will come the rightly guided khilafat. فَتَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ. This khilafah will last until Allah Rabbul Izzah wishes for it to last. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَرْفَعَهَا. Then Allah Rabbul Izzah will lift this age of rightly guided khulafa up, and there will be no more. So Ya Rasulullah, what will happen after that? ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا عَادًّا فَتَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَرْفَعَهَا. Then will come a violent age, an age of wars and battles. Ya Rasulullah, how long will it last? It will last until Allah wishes for it to last. Then that age will be lifted. Ya Rasul, what happens after that? ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جِبْرِيًّا. Then will come a tyrannical reign. an evil rain, a harsh rain. فَتَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ. It will stay with you so long as Allah رب العزة wishes for it to stay. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَرْفَعَهَا. Then Allah رب العزة will lift it when He عز وجل wishes to lift it. يا رسول الله, what will happen next? And glad tidings to you. أبشر يا مسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then will come an age, a leadership, a governance following the footsteps of prophethood. Your good days will return. The age of glory and strength will return on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzah didn't send this religion except to make it manifest above every other religion. Qala Jalla Subhanahu, أَفَغَيْرَ الدِّينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. Say, would you seek another religion instead of this religion? To this has surrendered what is in the heavens and the earth. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is He who sent His Prophet with divine guidance and true light, so that it becomes manifest and outshine, outlast, outmaneuver, outdo every other way of life. Although the mushriks won't like it, although the polytheists won't like it, although the kuffar won't like it, then Allah says, I'm doing it anyway. The future, wa rabbul Kaaba, there is no defeat on the future of Islam. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, that He Azza wa Jal honored me and you in this faith and chose us and cleansed us through this faith. And my Allah Rabbul Izzah, keep us on this firm until we meet Him. And my Allah Rabbul Izzah, reward you and the brothers who have prepared and organized and continue to organize these events with His choice, His mercies. With that, I thank you, my Allah, reward you. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.